بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. My beloved brothers and sisters, this is a lesson or a workshop regarding the two shahada, the shahadatan, i.e. shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan rasulullah, the two testimonies of faith. And we're going to study what is the meaning of these two testimonies of faith, what are their pillars, what are their conditions, and how do we fulfill these two testimonies of faith. And worksheets have been produced kindly and printed by the brothers, Jazahumullah Khair. And inshallah, we're going to go through and work together in filling these workshops. And what we're going to study today is regarding At-Tawheed. And Tawheed is the first obligation upon a Muslim. Tawheed is knowledge regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is At-Tawheed, knowledge regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the knowledge regarding Allah, it is the greatest type of knowledge and most elevated type of knowledge, most exalted knowledge, and the first thing that a person should study before anything else. Why is Tawheed so important? Because you are studying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of us, we say that Allah, He's awwal, He's the first. And He's a'la, He's the most highest. And He's akbar, the greatest. And He's ajal, the most exalted. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is awwal, the first, then knowledge regarding Allah, meaning tawheed, has to be first. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a'la, the most highest, then knowledge regarding Allah, meaning tawheed, is also the highest. If Allah is akbar, Allahu akbar, if Allah is the greatest, then knowledge regarding Allah, meaning tawheed, is the greatest. If Allah is ajal, the most exalted, then also tawheed, which is knowledge regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the most exalted. And the beginning point of tawheed is saying la ilaha illallah. This is the beginning point of at-tawheed, la ilaha illallah. And without Muhammadun Rasulullah, we will never know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first question in our worksheet is, why should we study the shahadatain? Why should we study the two testimonies of faith? Imagine if a non-Muslim comes to you. And this non-Muslim, he says, your name is Abdullah. So then he says to you, okay, tell me the meaning of Abdullah. And who is Allah? And what does it mean that you are Abdullah? What does this mean? And these words which you say, La ilaha illallah, what does it mean? Or if your name is Muhammad. So this non-Muslim, he says to you, this Muhammad that you're named after, I've heard there was another person 1400 years ago and he was also called Muhammad. And I heard that you believe him to be a prophet. So tell me something about Muhammad and about his message and how do you believe in him? So if you don't know the answers to these basic questions that a non-Muslim might ask you, then what right do you have to call yourself Abdullah? And what right do you have to call yourself Muhammad? So the first answer to this is that we have to study and know the meaning of the two shahadatain so we can deserve this title of being a Muslim and following al-Islam. And also we study the two testimonies of faith, the shahadatain, because I said it is the first point of at-tawheed. And we already accepted that the knowledge of Allah, meaning Tawheed, it is the greatest knowledge and the first knowledge, the most highest knowledge and the most elevated and exalted type of knowledge. Also, we have to study Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Because this differentiates between a Muslim and a kafir. And it differentiates between whether you're going to enter into Jannah or you're going to enter into the fire. So according to what you know regarding La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah, you are a Muslim. And if a person is ignorant regarding these two testimonies of faith, then he is a kafir. So the one who knows and studies and believes in the Shahada, for him the doors of Jannah will open. And the person who doesn't study, doesn't know, does not understand, does not believe in the two Shahada, then the doors of Jahannam will be opened for him. And also, if you don't have knowledge of At-Tawheed and you don't have knowledge of the Shahadatain, then maybe you will do an action which invalidates the Shahadatain and it invalidates your Islam and you don't realize. So for example, when we fast, all of us know that there are certain things which break our fast. Now if you don't have knowledge regarding those things which break your fast, you might be fasting and breaking your fasting and you don't realize. And also in Salah, there is something in Salah called Nawaqid As-Salah. Those things which break and invalidate a person's Salah. So if you don't understand and study As-Salah and which things invalidate your Salah, maybe you will do something in your Salah and you've invalidated it and you don't realize that you have invalidated it. When a person goes to do Hajj, we are taught that these are the actions you're allowed to do. These actions you're not allowed to do. And if you do them, you have broken your Hajj. Your Hajj is not valid. So if you don't study these matters, maybe you're doing something and your Hajj is invalid. And like this, At-Tawheed. Like this, the Shahadatain. You have to study the Shahadatain so you understand which actions or which statements, if I say them or do them, I will invalidate my Islam and invalidate my At-Tawheed. And also, you have to study the Shahadatain because in Islam, any act of worship is not accepted unless it is based upon knowledge. And the ulama, they have a principle. They say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعْبَدُ عَلَى الْجَهَلِ, that Allah is not worshipped upon ignorance. Allah is only worshipped upon knowledge. So a person cannot pray Salah and he doesn't have any knowledge about Salah. It's not possible. A person cannot fast and he doesn't have any understanding of the rulings of fasting. When does it begin? When does it end? What do I have to do? What do I have to stay away from? And also the Shahada, the Shahadatain and At-Tawheed. It's not possible for a person to be a Muslim and say the Shahadatain and be upon Tawheed if he hasn't studied these two things. And this shows us the importance of studying our belief and studying the meaning of the Shahadatain. So all of these reasons which I have mentioned, all of these are answers for the first question. Why should we study the Shahadatain? The next question on the worksheet is the first Shahada. And as you all know, the first Shahada is La ilaha illallah. The first Shahada, it is La ilaha illallah. Now, La ilaha illallah, what does it mean in Arabic? And then after this, what is it translated as in English? So in Arabic, La ilaha illallah means La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. The meaning of La ilaha illallah is La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Who can repeat for me the meaning of La ilaha illallah in Arabic? La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Five words. La, na'am. Good. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Anybody else? La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Another person? La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Final person? La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Good. لا معبود بحق إلا الله. And the meaning of لا معبود بحق إلا الله in English is لا, there is no. So لا means there is no. It's a negation. There is no. معبود. معبود is anything which is worshipped. Any god, any deity, any entity, any being. So it means there is no deity, there is no god, there is no person, there is no being, ma'bud, worthy of worship. Bihaq, in truth, illallah, except Allah. So la ilaha illallah, in Arabic it means la ma'buda bihaqin illallah. Every Muslim should know the meaning of la ilaha illallah. And this la ilaha illallah, it is called kalimatu tawheed, the word of at-tawheed. La ma'buda bihaqin illallah, in English, what is it translated as? There is no god or deity or entity or person, ma'bud, worthy of worship. Bihaq, in truth, except Allah. Meaning only Allah is deserving of your worship. And there is no other god and no other being who is deserving of your worship. Now sometimes people, they make a mistake and they say that the meaning of La ilaha illallah is there is no creator besides Allah. And this is a mistake. This is incorrect. Some people, they say that the meaning of La ilaha illallah is there is no god except Allah. And this is also incorrect. So these two translations, and we find them all the time in Islamic books, sometimes in the translations of the Quran, all the time it will say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God except Allah. La ilaha illallah, there is no creator besides Allah. And this translation or this definition, it is not correct. It is not totally correct. The third question is, why does it not mean there is no creator besides Allah or there is no God besides Allah? First of all, why does La ilaha illallah not mean there is no creator besides Allah? The first answer is because the mushrikun of Quraysh, the disbelievers, the polytheists from Quraysh, who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent to, and he gave da'wah to them, and he strived against them, and Allah condemned them to Jahannam, they used to believe that there is no creator besides Allah. Meaning Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl and the mushrikun of Makkah, they used to believe that there is no creator besides Allah. And despite this belief, they never entered into Islam. So if La ilaha illallah means there is no creator besides Allah, then that means they were Muslims. But Allah condemned them to Jahannam and they died upon shirk and kufr. So this shows us that La ilaha illallah does not mean there is no creator besides Allah. Now you may ask a question, and the question is valid. How do you know that Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl and the mushrikun, they used to believe Allah is the creator? How do you know this? And the answer is because in the Quran, in many, many ayat in the Quran, Allah tells us that they used to believe Allah is the creator. Naam, the Quraysh, the mushrikun, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, they used to believe that Allah is the creator, and Allah tells us in the Quran in many ayat. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَن نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. If you were to ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you were to go to the Quraysh and the Mushrikun and you were to ask them, who is it that sends down water from the clouds? فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِهَا. And then he gives life to the earth after its death. لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. Surely they will say, it is Allah. And this is the ayah which is on your worksheet. If you were to ask them, meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you were to ask the mushrikun, the Quraysh of Makkah, who is it that sends down water from the clouds? And who gives life to the earth after it is dead, meaning barren, they will certainly say it is Allah. So in this ayah, Allah tells us that if you ask them who created the earth, who created the water, who sends water from the earth, they, the mushrikun, they will say it is Allah. So the mushrikun used to believe that the creator is Allah. In fact, more than this, they used to believe that the provider is Allah, the sustainer is Allah. Meaning they used to believe Allah is the Khaliq, Allah is the Malik, the owner of everything. Allah is the Razik, the sustainer of everything. They used to believe Allah gives life. They used to believe Allah gives death. All of this is in the Quran. Allah said, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask the Quraysh, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who created the heavens and the earth? And who controls the sun and the moon? They will say, verily it is Allah. In another ayah, Allah said, قُلْ, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the Quraysh, to the enemies of Al-Islam, مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, who provides for you from the heavens and the earth? أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ, and who controls the hearing and the sight? وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ, and who will give life to the dead? وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ, and who will give death to the living? وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ, and who controls the affair? فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ, they will say, verily it is Allah. So in all of these ayat and many other ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the Quraysh, the mushrikun, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, they used to believe Allah is the creator, Allah is the owner, Allah is the one who gives life, Allah is the one who takes life and gives death. They used to believe all of this. So therefore, La ilaha illallah, it cannot mean there is no creator besides Allah, because this is the belief of the Quraysh in the first place. And for this reason we say that just because a person believes there is no creator besides Allah, it does not mean he is a Muslim. And if a person believes there is no creator besides Allah, and then he worships others besides Allah, he becomes a kafir. Even if he says, but I believe Allah is a creator. So you have a person, for example, he believes in his heart with sincerity, Allah is my Khaliq, Allah is my creator, Allah is my Malik, Allah is my owner, Allah is my Raziq, Allah is my sustainer. He believes my life is in the hands of Allah, my death is in the hands of Allah. And then he makes dua to the person in the grave. Or he slaughters an animal in the name of a jinn. Or he makes tawaf around the graves. Even with all of this belief in Allah, he is not a Muslim. Because this was the belief of the Quraysh. And yet Allah did not consider them to be Muslims. So La ilaha illallah does not mean there is no creator besides Allah. It means that you have to make all of your worship for Allah alone. It means I believe there is no deity, there is no God worthy of my worship except Allah. Worship, meaning my dua, is for Allah alone. My muhabba, my pure love, is for Allah alone. My khawf, my pure fear, is for Allah alone. My tawakkul, my absolute reliance, is with Allah. My dua is with Allah. When I slaughter an animal, I make it only in the name of Allah. When I seek protection, I don't seek it through the ta'weed. I don't seek it through a wali or a jinn, but I seek it through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. There is no deity worthy of worship in truth except Allah. Not only there is no creator besides Allah, because all of the Quraysh, all of them used to accept this. Neither does La ilaha illallah mean there is no God except Allah. Why? Because there are gods besides Allah. And you might be shocked. What do you mean there are gods besides Allah? To some people, Jesus is a god. To some people, the idol is a god. So there are gods besides Allah, but Allah is the true God, and all of these other gods are false gods. And as a side point, the word God, even with a capital G, this is not from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it isn't allowed for us to call Allah God, or to make dua to Allah by saying, "Oh God," this is not allowed. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, that for Allah are the beautiful names, those names which He has mentioned, so call to Allah with these beautiful names. So the name of the Creator is Allah, so we call Him Allah. His name is Ar-Rahman, so we can call Him Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus. All of these are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the word God, you can use it if you are giving da'wah to the non-Muslims, no problem. So when you're giving da'wah to the non-Muslims, and you say, "We believe in a God whose name is Allah. We believe in a God who is worthy of our worship, and He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." In this scenario, you can use the word God to refer to Allah, meaning He is the Creator. But we don't make dua to Allah using the word God, and neither do we describe Allah by using the word God, because this is not from His beautiful names and attributes. Then the fourth question is the two pillars of La ilaha illallah. And we have to understand this, because this is very important. La ilaha illallah, it is made of two parts, and therefore it has two pillars. The first part of this shahada is La ilaha. This is first part. The second part of this shahada is illallah. So the first pillar is called an-nafi. And an-nafi, it means that you are negating something. And this is La ilah. So when you say La ilah, what does it mean? What are you negating? You are negating all of the other deities and gods and beings who people worship. And this is the first pillar of La ilaha illallah. An-nafi meaning, when you say La ilaha illallah, the first pillar is you reject and you disbelieve in and you negate every other god or deity or entity or idol who the people worship. And this is La ilaha, the first pillar. The second pillar is Al-Ithbat. And Ithbat, it means affirmation. Meaning, then you have to affirm something. And what are you affirming? Illallah. Meaning, I affirm my worship of Allah, and He is the only one who is deserving of worship. So when we say La ilaha illallah, first we negate and we reject and we disbelieve in all of the other false deities. And then we say illallah, then we affirm and believe that Allah is the one who is deserving of my worship. And if a person does not believe in both of these two pillars, then he is never a Muslim. So if a person says, "I'm going to call to Tawheed, but I'm not going to warn against a shirk," then you have not believed in La ilaha illallah. If a person says, "I'm going to believe in Allah and I'm going to worship Allah, but I'm not going to speak about or denounce the other gods and the deities." So whoever wants to worship Jesus can worship Jesus. And whoever wants to worship the idol, then his right is to worship the idol. And whoever wants to worship Buddha, then his right is to worship the Buddha. And me, I'm going to worship Allah. This person is not a Muslim. And he has not fulfilled La ilaha illallah. Why? Because he has only fulfilled one pillar, and that is he has affirmed his worship of Allah. But he didn't fulfill the second pillar, and that is rejecting and negating all of the other deities and gods. And again, you can ask a question which is valid. You can say, "What is your evidence that La ilaha illallah has two pillars?" many ayat in the Quran. How many ayat in the Quran does Allah mention the order to worship Him alone and stay away from shirk in the same ayah? So for example, Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Allah said, and the ayah is in your worksheet, whoever disbelieves in the false deities. So this is a nafi. You have to negate, you have to disbelieve, you have to reject all of the other false deities. And believes in Allah. And then he affirms his iman in Allah. He is the one who has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. So look, in this ayah, Allah mentions two pillars for being upon Islam. First, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. You have to reject and you have to negate and disbelieve in all of the other false deities. La ilah. This is a nafi. Then he says, وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And he has iman in Allah. Meaning, you have to now affirm. You have to make ithbat that you worship Allah alone. This is a nafi wal ithbat. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah alone and do not make shirk. Do not ascribe partners to Him. In this ayah again, Allah mentions two pillars. The first pillar is وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. Affirm your worship of Allah. Al-ithbat, إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And then وَلَا تُشْرِكُ. And do not set up partners to Him. Meaning you have to reject and negate all of the other false deities. So in this ayah, Allah once again, He mentions the two pillars, an-nafi wal-ithbat. And also, in Surah Ali Imran, Allah said, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Say, O Muslims, to the people of the book, either the Jews and the Christians, تَعَالَوْا, come to a word which is just between us and you. What is this word? أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَلَّا وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. That we worship Allah alone and we do not ascribe any partner to Him. So again, this La ilaha illallah, it has two parts. Allah na'buda illallah wa la nushrika bihi shay'a. That we only worship Allah alone. This is ithbat. Affirm your worship of Allah. Wa la nushrika bihi shay'a. And we do not ascribe any partners to Him. This is the second pillar, an-nafi. Meaning you have to negate all of the other false deities and gods which people have set up. So these are the two pillars of La ilaha illallah, an-nafi, which is negation, negating and rejecting the false deities, and ithbat, which is affirmation, meaning affirming and believing in all in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person does not fulfill both of these two pillars, then he's not upon al-Islam. Even if he believes Allah is the creator, a person has to reject the false deities. After this, the fifth question is, what are the virtues of La ilaha illallah? What are the virtues of saying La ilaha illallah? And in reality, if a person doesn't know the virtues and the rewards and the merits for saying La ilaha illallah, then how can he be called a Muslim? So therefore, the question is for you to answer. So who amongst you, my respected brothers, can mention one virtue or one importance or one reward or one benefit of saying La ilaha illallah? Anybody, but put your hand up. Who can mention one importance, one virtue, one benefit from saying La ilaha illallah? Tafadhal. Excellent. Jazakallah khair. First of all, by saying La ilaha illallah, you become a Muslim. And this is the greatest benefit, the greatest virtue, that a person only enters into Islam, into the mercy of Allah, by saying La ilaha illallah. Another answer? Good. A person is only protected from the hellfire, may Allah protect us from it, by saying La ilaha illallah. So if a person doesn't have iman in La ilaha illallah, then how will he be protected from Jahannam? So this is a great virtue. Another virtue? Naam. Also entering into Jannah. A person who doesn't say La ilaha illallah, doesn't believe in it, he will never enter into Jannah. The person who does say La ilaha illallah with sincerity enters into Jannah. Any other reason or virtue or benefit? Tafadhal. Sorry? Doesn't come. No, by saying La ilaha illallah and strengthening your aqidah, you are protected from shaitan and the plots of a shaitan, the plots of kufr. Any other reason?
It's going to be the weightiest statement on the day of judgment.
Also, as the brother mentioned, Jazallah khair, that La ilaha illallah, it is the weightiest statement on Yawm al Qiyamah. In fact, in the hadith, when Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a statement, Allah said, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا, say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And then in the hadith, Allah says, لَوْ وُضِعَتْ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ فِي كَفَّةٍ, that if the heavens and the earth were placed upon one plate on the scales, وَوُضِعَتْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فِي كَفَّةٍ, and لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ was placed on the other scale, then La ilaha illallah would be weightier than the heavens and the earth put together. Boys, shh. Everybody has to be quiet. And there are many other benefits and virtues of saying La ilaha illallah. So to go through them so you can answer the question. First of all, a person only enters into Islam through La ilaha illallah. The difference between Islam and kufr is La ilaha illallah. A person will only enter into Jannah by saying La ilaha illallah. A person's sins, all of them can be forgiven by saying La ilaha illallah. A person will be removed from the fire, from Jahannam, through saying La ilaha illallah. Also from the virtues of this statement is that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, if you said La ilaha illallah and if you believed in La ilaha illallah, then you will be in the company of the people of La ilaha illallah, the people of At-Tawheed. And who were the people of Tawheed? The prophets and the messengers, the awliya, the righteous people. And how beautiful a companionship that will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because Allah will resurrect like for like. Like Allah said, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, and when the people are paired together, meaning the people of La ilaha illallah will be grouped together. And the people of kufr will be grouped together. The people of righteousness will be grouped together. The people of disobedience will be grouped together. And this is from the virtues of saying La ilaha illallah. Also, the shafa'ah, the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of judgment is for the people of La ilaha illallah, for the people of At-Tawheed. So the Prophet's shafa'ah, the Prophet's intercession sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not for the people of shirk, only for the people of At-Tawheed. And for this reason, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, man as'ad an-nas bi shafa'atika yawm al-qiyamah? He said, O Messenger of Allah, who is the one who will be happy with your shafa'ah on yawm al-qiyamah? The Prophet said, shafa'ati li yawm al-qiyamah, من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه. رواه البخاري. He said, my shafa'ah, my intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah is for those people who said La ilaha illallah with sincerity in their heart. And who are these people? The people of At-Tawheed. Also, from the virtues of La ilaha illallah is Jannah was created only for the people of At-Tawheed. And Jahannam was created for those people who go against La ilaha illallah. From the great rewards is the hadith of the Prophet, Man kana akhiru kalamihi La ilaha illallah dakhla al-jannah. Whoever's last statement is La ilaha illallah, meaning before death, he will enter into Jannah. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also from the virtues of La ilaha illallah is, like in the hadith of Jabir, it is afdalu dhikr. It is the best type of dhikr. The most beloved word to Allah and the best type of dhikr is saying La ilaha illallah. And look how short it is, only a few words, and yet it is the best and most virtuous dhikr which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after this, the sixth question on your worksheet. And that is the conditions of La ilaha illallah. What are the conditions of La ilaha illallah? First of all, why does La ilaha illallah have conditions that you have to fulfill? At-tawheed and saying La ilaha illallah is a type of worship. It is a type of ibadah. And you know that every type of ibadah has certain conditions which you have to fulfill in order for that ibadah to be valid. So as an example, a salah. Doesn't salah have conditions? It does. If a person prays the salah without these conditions, is the salah valid? No, it is not. You have to repeat your salah. So give me an example, and put your hands up. Give me an example of one condition of the salah. In the back. Wudu. So if a person prays salah without wudu, the salah is not accepted. So you have to now go make wudu and then repeat your salah again. I can't hear you. No, that's not from the conditions. From the conditions. All these important, not from the conditions. Your niyyah. You have to have a sincere intention. Gone. Good. Excellent. Facing the Qibla. If you don't face the Qibla and you pray a fard salah, your salah is not valid. And there's many other conditions. So also fasting has conditions. Hajj has conditions. Because all of them are ibadat. La ilaha illallah and tawheed therefore also has conditions. One of the Salaf, and his name was Wahab ibn Munabbih. It was said to him, Alaysa la ilaha illallah miftahul jannah? Isn't la ilaha illallah the key to jannah? And he said, yes, but every key has incisions, has teeth. So if you use the correct, incorrect key on another door, then it will not open the door. So also, la ilaha illallah, if you want to open the door of Jannah with your la ilaha illallah, then you have to fulfill the conditions. And the ulama, they have mentioned that the conditions of la ilaha illallah, there are eight. There are eight conditions of la ilaha illallah. The first of them is al-ilm. And al-ilm, it means knowledge. And the opposite of ilm is jahl. And jahl is ignorance. So what is the explanation of al-ilm? Meaning, the person who says la ilaha illallah, he has to understand what is the meaning of la ilaha illallah. He has to understand that when I say la ilaha illallah, I am negating something and I'm affirming something. So if a person said La ilaha illallah because his dad used to say La ilaha illallah. If a person said La ilaha illallah but he was ignorant of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, will he enter into Jannah? He will not enter into Jannah. Even if he said it 1,000 times, but if he doesn't understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah, he will not enter into Jannah. Like a person who prays 1,000 salawat, but he doesn't have wudu in any of the salawat. Not a single of those salawat are accepted from him. Like this, a person has to have knowledge and understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah and the meaning of Tawheed and the pillars of La ilaha illallah for him to be a Muslim. So if a person says La ilaha illallah, he doesn't understand anything. He doesn't understand its meaning. He just blindly follows other people, then his La ilaha illallah, it is not accepted. The second condition is al-yaqeen. And al-yaqeen, it means certainty. And the opposite of yaqeen is shak. And shak is doubt. And what is the explanation? If a person says la ilaha illallah and then he doesn't have absolute certainty in the meaning of la ilaha illallah, then does la ilaha illallah benefit him? It doesn't benefit him. So a person says la ilaha illallah, then he doubts. He doubts the existence of Allah. He doubts the message of Allah. He doubts yawm al-qiyamah. He doubts the signs of Allah. Then la ilaha illallah has not benefited him. And this shak, this doubt, this is the characteristics of the munafiqun. As for the believers, then they have to have complete certainty and firmness in their faith of La ilaha illallah. And then the third condition is ikhlas. And ikhlas, it means sincerity. You have to be sincere in saying La ilaha illallah. And the opposite of ikhlas is shirk or riya. Riya means showing off, and shirk, as you know, it means ascribing partners to Allah in worship, directing any ibadah to other than Allah. And what is the explanation? It means if a person said La ilaha illallah only to make other people hear, or just to show off, and he didn't have sincerity in his heart, and he didn't truly believe in La ilaha illallah in his heart, then he's not a Muslim. Or a person, he says La ilaha illallah, and then he does actions of shirk, and he worships other besides Allah, and his heart is attached to other deities besides Allah. This person is not a Muslim. Even if he says La ilaha illallah 1,000 times, a single act of shirk, and he has lost his La ilaha illallah. And then the fourth condition is Al-Qubool. And Al-Qubool, it means acceptance and pleasure at La ilaha illallah. And its opposite is Ar-Rad. And Ar-Rad means your disapproval and your rejection of La ilaha illallah. So if a person says La ilaha illallah, but he isn't pleased with At-Tawheed and happy about At-Tawheed, and he doesn't accept At-Tawheed, then his La ilaha illallah, it is not beneficial to him. And a person has to accept and be pleased with La ilaha illallah, with Tawheed in his heart and also upon his tongue. The next condition is Al-Inqiyad. Al-Inqiyad. And Inqiyad, it means compliance. And the opposite of Inqiyad is At-Tark, to abandon and leave alone. What is the explanation of this? Meaning, if you say La ilaha illallah, then you have to comply and you have to show obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the benefit of a person? He says La ilaha illallah with sincerity, but then he doesn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only the word La ilaha illallah. As for ibadah, as for obedience, as for inqiyad, showing submission to Allah, then he does not do it. This person hasn't believed in La ilaha illallah. And notice in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't mention the word At-Tawheed. He mentions the word Ibadah. And this shows us that if you want to believe in La ilaha illallah and you want to believe in At-Tawheed, then you have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِي شَيْئًا. Worship Allah alone, meaning upon Tawheed, and do not ascribe partners to Him. So Tawheed is Ibadah. Tawheed is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, complying to Him, obeying Him, and submitting to His laws. The next condition of La ilaha illallah is As-Sidq. And As-Sidq, it means truthfulness. And the opposite of Sidq is Al-Kadhib. And Al-Kadhib is lying. So when a person says La ilaha illallah, he has to say it with truthfulness, from his heart, believing in it, and not lying or just for a worldly benefit. The munafiqun, when they used to say La ilaha illallah, they never believed it in their heart. They never had truthfulness in their heart. They used to say La ilaha illallah as a lie, only for some worldly benefit. That if we say La ilaha illallah upon our tongue, even if we don't believe it in our heart, then the Muslims will protect us, and they will give us money, and we will get some war booty, and we will get the treasures, and we will become rich, and we will have jobs. So a person who says La ilaha illallah only for a worldly benefit, it does not benefit him. Only if it is out of truthfulness in his heart. And then the seventh condition of La ilaha illallah is Al-Mahabbah. And Mahabbah, it means love. And the opposite of Mahabbah is Al-Bughd. And Al-Bughd, it is hatred. And the meaning of this is that not only do you have to say La ilaha illallah, but you have to love La ilaha illallah. And you have to love At-Tawheed. And you have to love the people of At-Tawheed. And you have to love the places of At-Tawheed. And you have to love the call to at-tawheed, the da'wah to at-tawheed. And you have to hate shirk. And you have to hate the places of shirk. And you have to hate the doubts of a shirk. And you have to hate the people of a shirk. So just like you have to love at-tawheed and the people of tawheed and the people of Islam, then you have to hate a shirk and the people of shirk and the people of al-kufr. So if a person says La ilaha illallah 1,000 times and yet he hates the da'wah to tawheed and he's uncomfortable with the da'wah of at-tawheed, he has not believed in La ilaha illallah. And then the eighth condition is al-kufr. And al-kufr, it means disbelief. So disbelief and a kufr is also a condition of La ilaha illallah. How is this? How can kufr, how can disbelief be a condition of La ilaha illallah? If you know the answer, then put your hands up inshallah. How can kufr, how can disbelief be a condition of La ilaha illallah? Put your hands up. Excellent. Ahsant. Naam. Kufr, meaning you have to disbelieve and reject the false deities. Because remember we said La ilaha illallah, it has two pillars. An-nafi wal-ithbat. The first pillar is rejecting and negating, and this is kufr. Meaning you have to disbelieve in the false deities. You have to disbelieve and reject that Isa alayhi salam can ever be an object of worship. And you have to disbelieve and reject that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam can ever be an object of worship. And shaitan can ever be an object of, and anything can ever be an object of worship. So these are the eight conditions of La ilaha illallah. The opposite of kufr is iman, meaning believing and accepting the false deities. So all of this, in a very concise manner, are the meanings and the conditions and the pillars of La ilaha illallah. And then we come to the second shahada, which is shahada Muhammadun Rasulullah. So, just like we said, La ilaha illallah means La ma'buda bihaqin illallah, then also Muhammadun Rasulullah has a meaning in Arabic. It means La matbu'a bihaqin illa Rasulullah. And what that means is La matbu' bihaq, meaning there is nobody who is truly worthy of our following illa Rasulullah, except the Messenger of Allah. There's nobody who is deserving of being completely followed except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So again, who can repeat for me the meaning of Muhammadun Rasulullah? La matbu'a bihaqin illa Rasulullah. Tafadhal. Good. La matbu'a bihaqin illa Rasulullah. And then after this, and this is the eighth question, is we said La ilaha illallah has two pillars. Also, Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it has four pillars. There are four things which you have to fulfill in order for your shahada and your belief in Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be valid and accepted. First of all, tasdiquhu fima akhbar. Tasdiquhu fima akhbar. The first pillar, you have to believe in everything which the Prophet informed you of. Everything which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed you of, then you have to believe in it. Meaning, everything which the Prophet told us about the previous nations, you have to accept and believe. Everything which the Prophet told us about the unseen which Allah gave him, everything which the Prophet told us about Jannah and Jahannam and the life of the grave, we have to believe. And everything which the Prophet told us about the future, the prophecies, the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Dajjal, Mahdi, Ya'juj, Ma'juj, all of these things you have to believe and accept that it is the truth. So the first pillar of Muhammadun Rasulullah is tasdiquhu fima akhbar, and that is believing and accepting everything which the Prophet told us from the past, the present, the future, and from the knowledge of the unseen which Allah revealed to him. So if a person says, I believe in everything which the Prophet said except Dajjal, I don't believe in Dajjal, I think that Dajjal is a system. It's not a real person. Or if a person says, I believe Allah is my Lord, and I worship Allah alone, and I believe His Prophet was Muhammad, and I believe in all of the previous prophets, and I believe in everything which the Prophet told us. Except, I don't believe the sun will rise from the west on Yawm al-Qiyamah. I think this means the light of Islam will come from the west. This person has not believed in Al-Islam. He has not believed in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Whoever doubts a single thing which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed of from the previous stories or anything from the present or the future or from ilm al-ghayb which Allah told him, then he has disbelieved. The second pillar is ta'atuhu fi ma amar. That you have to obey the Prophet in what he ordered you to do. You have to obey the Prophet in what he ordered you to do. So what is the point of saying ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and then you don't obey him and you don't follow him and you don't accept his commandments? There's no point in saying this. The third pillar is ijtinabu ma naha anhu. That you have to stay away from that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told you to stay away from. And that which the Prophet forbade you from. So what is the point in saying Ashhadu anna Muhammadun Rasulullah and then at the same time everything which the Prophet forbade us, you're doing it and you carry on doing it? What is the point of saying Muhammadun Rasulullah? What is the point behind your belief in the Messenger of Allah if you're then going to do everything which the Prophet told you stay away from? The Prophet forbade you from lying, yeah, you carry on lying. The Prophet forbade you from listening to music, so you carry on listening to music. The Prophet forbade you from zina, from alcohol, or from shirk and bid'ah, and all of these things, and yet you carry on doing and doing and doing. This is a deficiency in Shahadat Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then the fourth pillar is Allah yu'bad Allah illa bima shara. That you do not worship Allah except in the way which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam worshipped Allah. You can only worship Allah in the way which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam worshipped him. Otherwise, what is the benefit of Allah sending the messenger? Allah sent the messenger to us for him to show us how to worship Allah. So if you're going to do bid'ah, innovations, and you're going to innovate your own Eid and your own slaughtering and your own form of dhikr and your own form of salah and your own form of hajj, and you're going to do and your own form of hijab, and you're not going to follow the way that the Prophet said, then what is the point in believing in Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why did Allah send the Prophet? In order for us to follow him and to not innovate. So these are the four pillars of ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, tasdiquhu fi ma akhbar, affirming and believing in everything which the Prophet informed, ta'atuhu fi ma amar, and obeying the Prophet in what he commanded, وَاجْتِنَابُ مَا هَنَّهَا عَنْهُ, and staying away from everything which the Prophet forbade, وَأَلَّا تَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَ, and that you do not worship Allah except in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam legislated. And then the last point, the ninth point in your worksheet, is sometimes we also say أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Abduhu. When we say Abduhu, what does it mean? So Abduhu, it means that the Prophet was the worshipper of Allah. Abd from Ibadah, from somebody who is a complete worshipper of Allah, in complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it's translated as slave and servant, and this isn't an accurate meaning. Because the meaning of the word abd has three meanings. First of all of us, Muslims and non-Muslims, all of us are Abdullah. Meaning all of us are in complete submission to Allah, a complete slave to Allah. Whether we want to or we don't want to, every single thing upon this earth is in complete submission to Allah. So everything is abdun lillah. So when Allah chooses for it to be destroyed, it will be destroyed. When Allah chooses for this person to become ill, the person will become ill. in complete submission to the command of Allah. This is the general meaning of Abdullah, the slave of Allah. But when we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being Abdullah, meaning he was the perfect worshipper of Allah, the most perfect and pious worshipper of Allah. So when we say Muhammadun Rasulullah, Abdullah, it has two meanings. The first meaning is that he was the worshipper of Allah, so we do not worship him. How can you worship a person who himself used to worship somebody else? So we don't worship the worshipper, rather we worship the one who he used to worship, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Muhammadun is Abdullah, is the worshipper of Allah, meaning he is Al-Abd and not Ma'bud. He is the one who worships, he's not the one who we should worship. Rather we worship the one who he used to worship, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this negates any type of ibadah towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The second meaning of the Prophet is Abdullah is that he was the most perfect worshipper of Allah. So we have to worship Allah in the way which he worshipped. What is the point of you saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Abdullah, and then you do innovation and you don't worship Allah like the Prophet used to worship him? So the second meaning is that he was the best and most perfect worshipper of Allah, and therefore we have to follow him in how he used to worship Allah, not that we innovate our own types of ibadat. And this, it negates bid'ah. So the first meaning negates ash-shirk, and the second meaning, it negates bid'ah. And this in a very, very concise manner are the pillars and the conditions and the meanings of the two shahadas, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh.